SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevepick.com. Friday here, the intermediate weekend, of course. Always feels like you're buying time, treading water before the move to Baltimore and to the second leg. Triple Crown. It's certainly been an eventful week, to say the least. And we've got a nice weekend on tap, highlighted, of course, by New York and the nice Man of War Festival, as it's being termed, and a Peter Pan on the three-year-old front that is very intriguing. There's some nice horses. You can scratch Diamond King. Bringing it to a group of seven. Diamond King will participate at Preakness. But the horses that are left, as I cross out Diamond King, the rest of these three-year-olds are okay. And some of them are stepping forward. That Core Beliefs, Peter Urton, Just Whistle, Michael Matz, Blended Citizens got his supporters, High North, little post-hype type for Brad Cox. Those are the major principles. Zing Zang is going to add blinkers. So is Gotta Go. Try to get them involved a little earlier. Very, very good groups lined up. That the Man of War itself, the grade one, is terrific. You know what's funny about the Peter Pan? There's only one horse that is in that group. High North, the only horse in there that had previously run in New York. It's kind of interesting. It doesn't happen too often. You got the Bogey as well as the Vagrancy. So a nice stakes card tomorrow at Belmont. A month out from Belmont Stakes Day. We're several months out from Breeders' Cup, but having just been in Churchill, of course, the planning ahead to Breeders' Cup, and the news yesterday, you knew that the Breeders' Cup people were tinkering and had considered several things about the championships. And what they ended up doing, if you haven't seen this from yesterday afternoon, the Future Star Friday concept, and this has been bounced around a little bit before, the idea of taking all the juvenile races, and they've added that juvenile turf sprint. So they'll take the two turf races, the 2 1-mile turf races, the juvenile fillies and the juveniles, and they'll take the two traditional dirt races, and they'll move them all to Friday. So Future Stars Friday. Wrap your mind around that concept. A 10-race card on Friday, half of them being Breeders' Cup juvenile races, and then the 12-race card on Saturday, with the Dirt Mile and the Distaff running on Saturday. The Distaff particularly restored to a Saturday race. That, in and of itself, you can argue about taking the juvenile dirt races off of Saturday. That won't sit well with everybody. But getting the Distaff back to Saturday, that's a winner. That you have to be happy with. And, you know, overall, seems like it, for the most part, from what I can tell, people were largely supportive of it. It'll be interesting, you know, given that Churchill, they run a very distinct fall two-year-old program, including that closing weekend, Stars of Tomorrow. They've got Stars of Tomorrow 1 and Stars of Tomorrow 2. And it'll be interesting to see if they're going to load up that Friday card with other juvenile races. There'll probably be a mix. If there's going to be another five races, it'd be interesting to see what they do. Probably a couple of maiden races on the main, and they really could make it a juvenile program. We'll see what Ben Huffman's and Dora Delgado, what their plan is on that front. But getting the distaff back on Saturday, that works. That's a winner. So your Saturday races, Filly and Mare Sprint, Turf Sprint, Dirt Mile, Filly and Mare Turf, regular sprint, the Turf Mile, the distaff, the Turf, and the Classic. Yeah, when you read it that way, this works out pretty good. Not a bad concept. Let me slip this in before we talk about yesterday at Churchill and I tell you what's going on today. Saw the news from yesterday, or it started to come out yesterday, and then got the full press release or notice from Michael Blowen at Old Friends. They lost two horses, and Tour of the Cat passed at the farm at Kentucky Downs, and he just died suddenly. Cat Launch, Tour of the Cat was 20. Cat Launch was suffering from neurologic disease and was euthanized at the age of 17. And not to lean in one direction or another, but Cat Launch, a horse that I really grew to have a lot of affection for, and his unbelievable career in Ohio. Think about his background, the Scioto farm implement, right? Scioto farm supply, Ron Fields. Ivan Vasquez trained Cat Launch, and he won 40 times. Many, many, many with Megan Fadlovich. And we talked to both of them during Cat Launch's run. I'm saddened by this. The last time I was at Old Friends, did not get a chance to see him, and I really this'll hit a lot of people hard. So I'm thinking about Vasquez and Megan. I'd be curious how many of those. He made 108 starts, Cat Launch, unbelievable. And there's of course a Cat Launch Stake. Yeah, he hit them all. He hit River and Beulah and Thistledown. He was, what a trooper. So, hearts go out on that front to fans of Tour of the Cat and Cat Launch. Turn our attention to yesterday at Churchill and the Derby remnants. $385,000 carryover into that sequence. And we knew it was tough going in. We made that very clear, the conversations with Marty, and then we touched base with Rich Eng. And, yeah, okay, there were some spots where you could lean and so forth. But this thing got squirrely early. That second leg, after Tiz Noble crushed, and the Tiz Noble win got extra attention because it represented the first career training victory for Norm Cassie. Congratulations to Norm. And this one, when they turned for home, this was not in doubt. Julian Leperoux and Tiz Noble powered away from the field, and the horse actually was claimed away. That's always tough. And Norm acknowledging, and I think particularly appreciative, if you saw what he wrote, he was really appreciative of the fact that it came at the first win, comes at Churchill, where he has spent so much time and what basically is his home, and comes with Julian Leperoux as well. That's another nice part of this win. And this was a horse that was claimed out of a race in New York and provides Norm with his first win. It undoubtedly provided almost everybody with a safe passage to start their pick six play. There was over $1.5 million. It actually exceeded expectation in terms of what kind of money was bet in. Over $1.5 million of new money showed up. So this was close to a $2 million pot when it was all said and done. And then things absolutely went haywire in the second leg. Anguston with Brian Hernandez Jr. and BJ Hernandez had himself an incredible late run. He won 4 out of the 5 races. Unbelievable. He basically won 4 of the pick 5 races. Pick 5, that late pick 5 paid $30,000. But he, saving ground inside, and I'm sorry, I went back. This was a tough horse to have. And frankly, even the second place finisher, grade 1, was a tough horse to have. Jimmy DeVito. This race ended up, this was a place where some people had to have hit the all button, because honestly, I mean, there were a few horses that were potentially a little bit more likable than others, including Zip On By, who was 4th. I thought that Long Shot Mutation was far from impossible. I didn't expect the longest shot on the board, though. 33-1, and that was going to guarantee a crazy and tricky rest of the way for everybody. First-time starter comes along, $11 winner for Al Stahl. And that 5th race, the maiden special, going 6.5, I leaned toward to those that had started, but pray for Leslie, for Carl Gessler. This is a homebred, a Bernardini filly out of a mizzenmast mare. And she had some okay works, but she didn't scream first time out home run. And Al Stahl can win first time out. Al's not necessarily a guy that you think of, but he wins first out. I thought the ones that had already run looked okay, and that they were more likely than the firsters. And Glitz and Glamour was 2nd, but pray for Leslie, won off by 6. And that was with Sean Bridgemahan. So an $11 winner after the $69 winner. And then from there, nothing outlandish. We'll get to the nightcap, but you had How's My Bud? Yeah, it was one of the ones in that 8,000 claimer. Thought you had to go, 3-4 deep in there, and he was one of the ones. Awestruck, if you singled Awestruck, that gave you a fighting chance, and Awestruck was terrific. This was the Rusty Arnold, Watts Humphrey, the Tappet filly that had jumped forward in the last start and came back and followed that up nicely. So Awestruck goes on. Now suddenly he's got back-to-back wins. Got you to the nightcap, and the payoffs were excellent, top to bottom, actually. There was not going to be anybody disappointed with the return if you would manage to get the $69 horse on your ticket. But the way in which Get Western, Charlie Lopresti, who was resurgent, Charlie had a couple of quiet seasons and seems like he's got a number of better horses have circled back through the barn. This is Ward Pitfield, the owner, for Charlie. And Get Western, you know, I threw Get Western in on the pick four ticket. You know, he was one of the ones that was okay in here, but he won like a champ. Took control and then off the turn, powered away, and everybody else was left desperate. And was 15-2, paid 17-20, and so if you negotiated this sequence, tremendous job. 81,891. Really, and you earned every cent if you got through this. This was a tough group. I was over after that second leg. Tina and I were actually out and about, and we were watching it, and we watched it at the bar at Talk of the Town up in Glens Falls. We're having wings and pizza. And there it went. The whole, everybody was counting on us hitting the pick six and paying for everybody's dinner, but no, that didn't happen. So, good job if you hit. I will mention that there is a pick five carryover that will be used in the late pick five today at Churchill. And that was the sequence that was races 2 through 5, or 2 through 6, I should say. And a $35,000 pick five carryover into the late pick five. The way the rules are written in Kentucky when they put this together, it's a $35,000 689 carryover. Whenever there's going to be a carryover like this, it's going to be applied as the late pick five at Churchill. So today, the last five will have that $35,000 carryover, and that's a nice number because it completely eliminates. It's already it's only 15% takeout anyway. Pretty attractive. So this really negates it. Almost probably a positive expectation in that late pick five today. So that's it. And the rest of the pick six money starts the jackpot starting today. So those are the residuals from the Derby. Turn our attention to the weekend and head to the break. Andy Beyer. Andy's going to join us first today. We'll get Andy's postscript to Derby, see what he thinks, see how he made out. It never occurs to me to ask Andy. A lot of reaction, by the way, from last night, from yesterday's conversation with Haskin, between the restaurant mentions, Prime Rib getting a lot of love, and Hausner's as well. I didn't realize how much the Hausner's reference would date. Me, I guess. The people surprised that I am, I guess, old enough to have eaten at Hausner's. Come on. I used to, when I called, I had a client down, basically off downtown, Martin Gillette, which was a famous tea company way, way back, the 1700s, and then evolved into a private label salad dressing manufacturer. And used to go visit with them. And they would always take me, when I'd come in for a meeting, we'd always go to Hausner's for lunch. Strawberry pie. That was the big deal. Everything was a big deal there. It was unbelievable. Amazing. Got it from another era, Hausner's. So I'm going to ask Beyer today, any of his Baltimore, because of course, and you know what? We'll bring up Clem Florio too. That as Marty McGee gave us the Clem Florio reference yesterday, and he was a pal of Beyer's. James Scully, we'll talk to Scully, get his postmortems. Nick Tamaro, Nick will join us, top of the hour. Get his final thoughts on Derby. This is always the put a bow on the Derby and put it on the shelf show. Tom Quigley, we'll catch up with Quigley and look at the Santa Anita weekend, both in the rearview mirror and also ahead. Ed DeRosa, Hammer, and more. I'm missing something or somebody. I'll figure it out. Head to Baltimore on Sunday. That realization sunk in with Tina last night. She said something about doing something Sunday. I said, honey, I'll be driving to Baltimore. She was like, oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. We'll slip in some of the news. Bolt Doro confirmed now for Preakness, by the way. Yeah, he's going. That was a quick change of direction. Back after this, Andy Beyer joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porschebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porschebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porschebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I heard the news, there's a bull rocking tonight. Gonna hold my baby tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty man. I heard the news, there's a bull rocking tonight. Have you heard the news? Everybody's gonna rock tonight.
We're back at the races, and Andy Beyer is back with us for some postscript to Derby 2018. And just curiously, May 11th happens to be the 100th to the day anniversary of Exterminator's Derby win. And, of course, that was invoked on Saturday, considering it was the wettest Derby until this year. And I put up a video, a clip, a link on YouTube, remarkably, to actual live video footage of the 1918 Derby. And Exterminator, 30-1, Andy, a nice price on Exterminator.
I wasn't there for that one.
I love it. I love it. He was the longest shot on the board, and apparently Matt Wynn had to talk the connections, Henry McDaniel and W.S., Kilmer, the owner, they had to talk him into running. So it no different than today.
They made a historic decision, I guess.
Very much. And the gelding, of course, went on to, ultimately, when he retired, he had passed Man of War in earnings. And was absolutely beloved. Old Bones, big gangly horse, Exterminator. And you can read Liza McGraw's terrific book, Here Comes Exterminator, if you haven't, if you aren't aware of it. Andy, we have got six straight Derby favorites now. that's going to be a streak that we'll be talking about next May.
Yeah, I don't see that there is a rationale for it, although I think somebody did mention the idea that the Derby point system keeping out horses who have who got into the Derby in the past by winning sprints or whatever has maybe made the race a little more honest that we've had some of these just kind of crazy derbies that were a function of pace that don't happen as often as much anymore. So maybe that's partly the explanation, but I think this is mostly a fluke.
Put the performance in perspective, because for the winner, for Justify and Good Magic, basically to work those fractions and have enough to hold off anybody that was trying to rally, that's a performance. Those are performances that should hold up under scrutiny.
Right. I will say, first of all, since I'm a guy who judges horses principally based on speed figures, the speed figure of 103 did not do Justify justice at all, and I mean this horse is is capable of much, much better, and I expect him to show it very soon. When you look at the early fractions of 22.2. Particularly for that first quarter, and put it in a historical context, you know, and look at derbies of the past where you have had like that super fast quarter, it has traditionally caused just a total meltdown in the race. I was looking at the other day the chart of the 1981 Derby. I was there for that one, where Top Avenger set the pace in like 21.8. I mean the speed, any horse near the lead, you know, just had a coronary. I mean, the horses who finished 1, 2, 4 in the field had been running 17th, 19th, and 20th, you know, at the first quarter, and that was a typical scenario when you get that really overheated early fraction going a mile and a quarter. So for Justify, to press this pace and to just keep on going, was really quite an achievement, I thought.
Very much. And other elements of this, when you get the wet track kinds of derby, horses that, you know, basically are taken out of it right away, Andy, and are just instantly going to be compromised either by the footing or by, you know, being left with too much to do. And, you know, Audible's performance was laudable in the scheme of things.
I don't buy that. Remember the other side of the coin, in the fast-paced scenario is the slow pace at the end, which enables horses just to clunk up, you know, when all around them are falling apart. And Audible, I mean, the last quarter of this Derby was 27 seconds, and yeah, Audible rallied, but so did Instilled Regard at 85-1. You know, so did like the most over bet horse in history, My Boy Jack, to finish fifth. I mean, so if you look at the charts, a lot of horses came from way back and picked up the dead wood because of that final quarter. So I'll be booking all Audible bets coming up in wherever he runs.
One horse that we have to talk about, Bolt Doro, and you know he did feel, and I know you liked him, and I liked him involved as well. He's going to turn around and contest Preakness, as it turns out, but were you surprised at the tactics they used? It seemed coming out of Santa Anita that he would have a chance to settle and come with a run in this setting, and instead he probably was ridden too close to this pace, you know, given what arguably could be his best style approach.
Yeah, I guess it's just that, you know, you're in post 11 in a field of 20, the slop is flying up. Certainly being close to the pace, you know, like didn't hurt Good Magic for sure. I mean, I certainly can't blame the mud on Bolt Doro's performance, because like he was right up there. It wasn't like, say, Mendelssohn, where after like 10 strides, you knew he was, you know, not in the race. So I don't know. I just can't, you know, much as I like the horse, I don't think I can find it in my heart to forgive the Derby. I mean, I think this horse will show is not done showing what a good horse he is, but I don't know if wheeling him right back in the Preakness would be that great an idea.
Well, it does look like where Mick Ruiz is headed, and the field will continue to morph a little bit as we look toward Baltimore. Some thoughts about what players should be thinking, because Baffert has a remarkable record. You look at his Derby winners, and every one of them, Andy came back 2 weeks later to win, and that is part of the storyline. Then there's the people that are trotting out the wet track Derby winners' lack of success going forward recently, and whether it was Orb and Always Dreaming, Mind That Bird, I can't hold his Preakness against them because Rachel Alexandra came along. Otherwise, he would have won the Preakness. But the wet track Derby winners, that sort of counterbalances the Baffert record.
I mean, I don't think any rational person could say that, you know, Justify was, you know, won the Derby even in part because it was a muddy track. I mean, clearly he'd run on, this horse has been viewed as, you know, by the people around him, as a potential superstar from the word go, and you know it just happened to be muddy, you know, when or sloppy when he won, but I think the insiders really recognized the seeds of greatness in this horse right from the beginning. Elliot Walden, just to say the decision to send this horse to Baffert, suggests like, gee, we got a Derby horse, we got to go for the best. And Baffert himself has has just had such confidence in this horse from the beginning. I mean, he won't say it, but this horse is better than American Pharoah by a long shot. And before the Derby, I was reading, I love the Clocker reports in the Derby. They just give you an insight that you don't get, you can't get anywhere else to see, what people who just see horses on a day-to-day basis think. And for the California Clockers, every time this horse stepped on the track for a workout, the comments were just, so extravagant, like, we're really seeing, something extra special here. So, this horse, everybody's known a long time that this horse is really, really good.
Well, the image, or at least the expectation, is that we will get to Pimlico and exit the other side potentially with another Triple Crown try, and we'll wait and see on that. I have to utilize your proximity to Pimlico and your days in the press box to muse a little bit, Andy, about Old Hilltop and your days covering racing, and particularly in Baltimore. The other day, Marty McGee actually brought up Clem Florio, which I knew I had to bring to you, somebody you absolutely adored.
I did. I mean, Clem was like the, was the handicapper for the Baltimore News American, and he really had an impact on my life, I would say, because when I was sort of new, new to racing and just starting to do my speed figures and coming to the track every day with my vinyl folders covered with, with my figures written and, in red flare pen, most people viewed me as a crackpot. But Clem had always been like a speed-oriented handicapper. He didn't calculate figures, but he looked at the charts. He knew the difference between fast races and slow races, and he and how track conditions affected times, and he knew that was like the crucial factor in handicapping. So when I sort of showed up in the press box, working on the figures, he was the guy who, the one person I knew anywhere who really encouraged me, who you know, impressed on me that I was on the right path. And, I mean, he was quite a guy, quite a character, and, you know, those were really good times. I mean, it's a shame that the kind of the vitality of live racing has been drained away from most tracks, certainly including Pimlico. You know, and that, you know, Pimlico, which was never all that attractive, is just so decrepit now. But I can at least look back on some, you know, some illuminating times and some great scores in the old days.
He's been gone 10 years, which is hard to believe, actually. In fact, May of 2008. And there's certain moments that you associate with Pimlico and with Preakness, and Florio tabbing deputed testimony right. Ranks up there.
Yeah. well, it's always been an interesting race. You know, the Preakness has always been an interesting race because the Derby, certainly in the past, before the streak of favorites, is often so chaotic and is often so influenced by kind of crazy trips or pace scenarios that, the Preakness, you know, can be a little better gauge of horse's ability. And certainly from the speed figure standpoint, a lot of times the circumstances of the Derby make it very difficult for a horse to run his best, and we've had cases where like really good horses just, you know, got lousy figures in the Derby. I mean, they ran slow just because of the difficult circumstances. I mean, Sunday Silence won the Derby with 101. California Chrome, I think, got a 96 or 98. But then, you know, the Preakness, a smaller field, cleaner trips, you know, horses show what they've got. And I just have a hunch that Justify is going to, from the figure standpoint and otherwise, he's gonna give us a blockbuster a week from Saturday.
Yeah, Andy, always a blockbuster visit with you, and ahead of Preakness, it's impossible not to ask the question about the future. I had Stuart Pittman earlier this week, and he's running for Anne Arundel County Executive. We discussed Laurel and where things stand. Thoughts on how this should be handled going forward? Is it just time to accept that it doesn't make sense to go forward with Pimlico and to move the race to Anne Arundel County?
They should have blown up Pimlico 20 years ago. I mean, it's so much of it is politics. I mean, Pimlico is just, you know, and the Preakness are such an ingrained part of Baltimore. And maybe it just doesn't, I don't know. I mean, I guess people don't care, you know, that the, about the physical condition of the racetrack. Now, I don't know whether Laurel, you know, could, like, I think the Laurel infield is maybe not going to be conducive to the massive crowds that they get at Pimlico. But it never made sense for the Maryland Jockey Club, you know, at least in modern times, you know, to try to keep up two racetracks. So they put all their money in Laurel, and I guess it just makes sense to run the Preakness there.
Well, we'll see how this plays out, and I'll be broadcasting from from the press box starting on Monday, and I love going down there. And Andy, we ask everybody, particularly the locals, favorite places. Where can you send people that are making their way in and around Baltimore next week?
I'm not a local.
Well, you're a DC, but come on, you've spent enough time in Baltimore over the years.
I would drive to Pimlico, go to the track, and go home. So, I mean, you'll have to talk to somebody else for travel tips.
I love it. Andy Beyer, as always, so great. Andy, thanks.
Okay. Great talking to you, Steve. Bye-bye.
He's the best. That's great. He drove to the track and drove home back to D.C. Never had a meal in Baltimore. That is funny. I'm gonna challenge him on that at some point. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with James Scully. We'll get Scully's take, and of course, Scully, one of the guys that unfortunately, was hoping that Mendelsohn would translate into Derby, and nobody has to come up with an excuse when it comes to backing him. I mean, he certainly lots of quality, and you can understand. I totally understood anybody that thought he could come to town and succeed. Any number of things conspired against him, and that included the horses to his right, and the increasing complaint about the space between the 14 hole, the end of the main gate, and the start of the auxiliary gate, being looked at more and more as a problem, and see if that gets addressed. We also have got to address and get you maybe a Mike Welch visit in hour three. The hit yesterday at Gulfstream, taking down to the Rainbow Six for a giant score. Well, we got to get that story in too. I was focused on the Churchill carryover because so many people were focused on that. But meanwhile, there was opportunity with the Rainbow at Gulfstream. Interesting story and an interesting winner of the single ticket. Back after this, James Scully joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig-Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig-Tipton 2-Year-Olds in Training Sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Drinking in the morning sun, blinking in the morning sun.
We're back at the races. Some elbow for you on this Friday weekend preview, but without previewing, can't just turn the page on last weekend. And James Scully joins us from Brisnet, of course, brought to you by Twin Spires. And James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
James, we gotta get your take postscript to Derby, and you know the conditions obviously a major factor here, and it's hard, you know, for anybody to put all the effort that goes into the handicapping and the anticipation and the ticket building, etc., and then you get conditions that, you know, kind of throw a wrench at everything. Your thoughts about how things unfolded on Saturday?
Well, I mean, after Funny Duck, the last dirt race before the Derby was the Pat Day Mile, and after Funny Duck won that race, I was a little bit worried about how, about the track and such. But, I was pleased in the sense that, I mean, the race turned out formful regardless of the track, you know, with Justify, Good Magic, and Audible. I mean, they were all three top contenders. I thought the runner-up and third-place finisher ran their races. I mean, Audible was going to have to deal with traffic regardless if it was wet or fast, and he definitely had some traffic issues before Johnny V got him to the inside midway on the turn and then, you know, finished up well. But, you know, you look at the race, you watch the replays of it, and, you know, turning for home, I mean, Good Magic's only about a length and a half, you know, two lengths maybe back at Justify, and he's out there, and he's got the whole length of the stretch to run by him. And he just couldn't get by him. And, I tip my hat. I mean, once we knew that if Justify got into that rhythm, he was going to be awfully tough to beat. And when he broke from the gate, I thought he settled, wasn't too headstrong going into that first turn. And he made that move. Everybody expected on the far turn if he was going to get the trip. And, with Good Magic, another jockey might not have gone after him before the completion of the far turn, but Jose Ortiz is aggressive, and I love the way he rides, and he took his shot at him and came up short, but managed to save second. So, you know, in that sense, it wasn't, I was happy with the way the race turned out.
Agree, and that I think that has been echoed pretty widely, even by people who went in different directions. And although we have yet to talk to Ed, we'll see what he thinks in an hour. From the whole weekend standpoint, kind of fold in the way things flowed and you know what went right from your perspective and what went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, I tipped my hat to Monomoy Girl. She wasn't my top pick, but Saturday went pretty good for me because you know, I was against Abel Tasman with Salty and against Always Dreaming with Backyard Heaven, and really impressed by Backyard Heaven. Hadn't seen him really. I didn't watch those races the first time around. Went back and watched the replays, but just a good looking, you know, looks like that horse has such a bright future. So, you know, think there's a potential that really got to see. I mean, it was his first trip at two turns, stakes debut, and really liked that performance by that Chet Brown trained horse.
Definitely. And that one, it looks to be a horse that, you know, we're gonna see at higher levels and part of the handicap division. Limousine Liberal continues to rack up success at Churchill. Amazing American Gal's effort was stunning.
Yeah, American Gal really sharp. I mean, she had that race put away before she even got in the stretch. It looked like, I mean, She made her move to take over and was in complete control all the way to the wire. Really, you know, that's what you were hoping for if you were playing her off of that comeback effort where, you know, she ran a good race, came up a little bit short. She took another step forward for Simon Callahan, went to the sidelines last year in August and has come back strong, a real, real promising Philly mare sprinter type. And Limousine Liberal loves Churchill. He likes an off track. He thrived on a wet track last year on that race. Really like Warriors Club. I mean, just a perfect example of a horse improving by leaps and bounds. You know, wanted to see him back up that Commonwealth effort, and he did so. And looks like that, you know, that horse could be a player as well, especially the 7 furlong distance in a sprint race is up ahead.
From the turf side, and you know, Will Call, it's interesting. We had a couple of winners on Friday that totally tipped their hand. Will Call and Toinette both worked fabulously on Grassworks and basically provide more evidence that, you know, hanging around and watching what's going on there in the mornings, it can provide all kinds of insight and benefit. When it came to Saturday, because of the wet turf, it's a little harder to know, you know, what we saw and what is, you know, what amounts to bet backs and so forth. I mean, Yoshida's obviously going to be a player going forward, but the conditions clearly, for him to turn in that kind of performance, the conditions really suited him. And Maraud, I'm still shaking my head a little bit. I mean, he's okay, but I think that both of those charts need to be watched and we'll see where things go from there, because there's horses that are going to be dirtied up coming out of those races that'll come back and perform well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that Maraud, I sort of had the same take. You know, I want to see, you know, him come back and back up that performance. Did love Yoshida. He came back off a layoff in peak form for Mod. And, you know, Beach Patrol, I mean, he had that outside post. He was making his first start from the Presence of Breeders' Cup turf. And I thought he got a little caught up, like, you know, dueling up on the front end. But still fought gamely all the way to the wire to be second. So not a bad comeback effort. And, you know, do you think the top two from the Turf Classic, you know, that was a legitimate performance for them.
We
and
also,
Toinette, I mean, I, you know, it was funny with that Edgewood. I mean, Rushing Fall, she just didn't settle. You know, when Javi went to take a hold of her going by the wire, you know, going into the first turn, she, like, skipped I mean, she didn't want to be taken back. So he sort of just had to give her head, and he sat like an up-close third. And, you know, she came up a little bit short, but definitely is going to be the type that is eligible to bounce back and be a major, you know, force going forward in three-year-old turf filly stakes.
Well, and because we're so focused on Derby and that group of three-year-olds, another obscured performance was Mia Mischief, who got a 97 buyer winning the Eight Bells on Friday. And I think people, you move right into Derby mode as soon as the Oaks, as soon as the Lilies start to wilt. And Mia Mischief, in some ways, was as impressive as anybody all weekend.
Yeah, much the best. Really just sat the right trip. I mean, you're right. I mean, sometimes these, I mean, we're early still in the three-year-old season, and sometimes, you know, these horses just don't come to hand as soon as others. And she looks like a type that's off of that effort, ready to keep moving forward for Steve Asmussen. That pace, you know, she did get the good trip, like right off a pretty hot setup, but just loved the way she finished up.
Yeah, very much, and that's a big fig for a three-year-old filly at this time of year. And, of course, Monomoy also, 97 for her winning the Oaks, 96 for the runner-up, and Wonder Godot.
And, you know, talking about horses training, I mean, Wonder Godot, to me, you know, wasn't on my radar coming in. I wound up playing her, picking her third in that race and using her in some bets, and just based on the way she trained. So, I mean, she really was thriving in the days leading up to that race, and she ran to it. Would have been a winning race if the winner wasn't so game and good herself, you know. So there's a filly that finally looks like she may have turned the corner for Mark Cassidy.
Well, and I'm going to point, along with stablemate Flameaway, going to both point for the Queen's Plate. So they may end up facing each other when we get
and
to
Woodbine.
And
he's got Telekinesis on the, yep, the path for that race. So, yeah, he's loaded.
Very much. James, we should also ask you, yesterday, any luck with that squirrely sequence?
You know, like a lot of people, I was like 4 or 6. I didn't play too big a ticket, but, you know, missed the 33-1 shot and missed the next race. So, you know, I was really happy to see Norm Cassidy. I thought that Tiz Noble was extremely well manned. It looked like they were dropping him a level below where he should run. And, you know, he had the speed to get the right trip, and, you know, he just crushed him. So it was good to see Norm Cassidy get off the duck and keep, start to, because he's a really talented horseman, and I think he's going to be a successful trainer. So I was happy to see Norm get his first win.
Agreed. A couple of thoughts about this weekend. Anything that you've already looked at and ideas?
I mean, you know, I looked at the stakes I'll just throw a quick mention real quick about the Preakness. I know we'll talk more about that next week, but, you know, looking at Justify being an odds-on favorite, to me, if you were to bet that race and bet him, I mean, the only way to play it would be to play straight Exactive and you know, try to beat Good Magic if he runs in the second spot. You know, I always go back. I mean, American Pharoah was odds on. Tale of Verb completed $124 Exacta. Even in 2008, Big Brown was 1-5, almost 1-9. And when Macho again ran second to $2 Exacta, paid $36.60. So if you can beat, if you can play $220 straight Exactas into Justify and, you know, and in turn $100+ profit, you've made out maybe $200 profit, made out pretty good. So, you know, that's one way I'm always looking at a race like that where you get an odds-on favorite and it looks pretty imposing. I'll be scouting out for those straight Exactas. Turning
nice
to this weekend real quick, Steve, in the Peter Pan, I like High North. There's a horse I'm willing to draw a line through, the Risen Star Rebel. He wasn't the same performer that he's developing into now. I think Core Beliefs is going to take all the money off that race. And while he could be a nice horse, and you got to respect the third in there, I think High North is really coming on for Brad Cox. And sort of same and similar take in the Man of War. You know, I was on High Happy last time. I always go back to Ribaletta in 2000, her form in 99, she couldn't win a grade three dirt stake in Southern California. The next year, she reeled off five or six straight graded wins, won like four or five grade ones, was 2-5 in the distaff. Sometimes those horses really need just a whole year to acclimate. So anybody paying attention on High Happy to his races in Southern California last year, you'd be better served just drawing a black magic marker through them. I thought that was a real strong effort. And if I'm playing any multi-race bets at Belmont tomorrow, I'm singling High Happy because I think he's peaking right now for Pletcher.
It's an interesting group, too. I mean, that's a nice set of horses that came together here. And, of course, Scooter Dickey trying one go, all go. And there are some horses, James, that want to be up front in here. That's the interesting equation, whether or not, you know, this thing boils over pace-wise.
No race, no rest for one go, all go. I mean, you know, he really got the, you know, she's going good for Scooter, but, you know, really got the trip in the Elkhorn last time and held on at the end. And just seems like, gosh, I mean, I wonder if they're squeezing the lemon too much on him. Definitely with High Happy. I mean, he stacked up close last time, but he might have to sit, two or three lengths back in third or fourth tomorrow. But I still think, you know, he's going to be able to make his run and hold off the late runners.
Excellent. Anything else?
You know, I got a long shot for everybody today at Churchill Downs. To take a look at today's card, race number one, Silver Giant. He's 12-1 on the morning line. I think he's got he took nine starts to break his maiden, but he's going really good now for Tim Gryshaw. Wire-to-wire chance. CJ McMahon won three races on the opening week at Churchill. Good speed jock. So number one, Silver Giant in the fifth race today at Churchill.
Very good. I like it. James Scully, everybody. James_Scully, 111. Brisnet, and of course all the terrific blog roll analysis and recapping going on at Twin Spires, and we'll talk to Ed in a little bit as well. James, good luck this weekend. Who's coming to Baltimore?
Thank you. Vance is going to Baltimore, and then I'll be up at the Belmont with Ed if Justify's going for a Triple Crown.
Excellent. All right. We'll see Vance Hansen then. Nice. Vance does a great job. We'll take a timeout here, top of the hour, and when we come back, Nick Tamaro, and he'll regale us with the tales of his day calling races at Maynard Downs that unexpectedly popped up yesterday with Pat Cummings. Hour two at the races, weekend preview. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Faisick Tipton Mid-Atlantic Sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade one winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive, and the Cartery flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Faisick Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.